today, the Lord has laid on my heart, actually, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, this particular message, and I always know when he wants me to do it, because when I start, you know, like 3 weeks ago, when I had this message put on my heart, I wasn't finding the material that I was, you know, the direction I wanted to go with it. But then this week when I started looking for it again, it was like it just all fell together just like that. So the message is on forgiveness. And you're going, uh-oh, that topic? I don't know. Maybe it's time to go. Gee, it's time to go. Look at the time. It's time to go. But we are going to talk about forgiveness. But I do want to share a story about forgiveness, a true story about these two girls. And they were bestie of best friends. They were such best friends that they actually called themselves sisters in Christ, or sisters in the Lord. And they must have had breakfast frequently at a certain cafe. And they were both from different nationalities, but that did not have anything to do with their relationship. They just, you know, were just good friends. So they had breakfast one morning at their same old cafe, and they were enjoying their breakfast, and somehow a topic on something came up, and they began to realize how different their racial views were from each other. And it started an argument. An argument so much that they didn't finish their breakfast, and they ended up walking away from each other saying, "I don't want to see you again. I don't want to be your friend anymore." And they carried that bitterness and that anger. But about a year later, however, they were both hired. Both of them were hired at the same ministry, but not only in the same ministry, but they were both hired in the same department of that ministry. Unbeknownst that, you know, both of them, both of them had worked in the same place. But when they did find out that they were both working there and they were both working in the same department, it was very awkward. It was a very awkward situation. They felt very uncomfortable. But then they realized that God had his hand on this situation, that God's timing brought them to get back together again. And so they decided that they needed to sit down and they needed to talk about the conflicts that they had had a year before. And the great thing was, is before they even sat down together, well, they did get together, but the first thing they did before they even talked about the conflict or the difference in their opinions, they prayed together. And they asked God to help them so that when they sat down, there was no bitterness, there was no unforgiveness, there was no contention there. The stress was gone. So they asked God to help them so that they could apologize to each other and heal. You know, a lot of us don't realize that we can apologize, and you know, I'm going to be talking about this with the kids in Children's Church today. That I love, one of the things that I'm going to share with them is that you can say, "I'm sorry," or "Oops, I didn't mean to do that," and yet the person that's being apologized to by hearing "I'm sorry," they're thinking, "Well, that sure wasn't very sincere." And so the thing that I want to start out with this morning is I want to share a little bit of what I'm going to share with them today. Is you can say "I'm sorry." It's how you say "I'm sorry," number one. Then number two, if you did offend them, another thing that you can do, there's actually three things that should be done when you want to say that you forgive someone or that you ask for forgiveness. Either way, first you say "I'm sorry," and then the second thing you say is "I'm sorry for doing what it is that I did." You literally speak about what it was that you did that offended that individual, and then not only that you're sincere, and that you won't do it again. So you are telling them. When you explain it like that, you're telling them that there's a sincerity there about your apology. You know, like how many times, remember Stevie Urkel when he'd make a mistake and go, "Did I do that?" That was, I guess, his way of saying, "I'm sorry." But the thing is, the other individual that you're saying "I'm sorry" to, they need to to really know that you are sincere. That's part of that healing process, okay? So this morning I want to talk about the division that took place between Esau and his brother Jacob. God healed that division that the two brothers had. And in the process of healing that relationship, he blessed them. So think about that when your flesh is saying or your reasoning is saying, I don't want to say I'm sorry. I know I did that, but they deserved it. Or, you know, you come up with an excuse for the reason that you did what you did, an excuse to say, I don't want to say I'm sorry. Because after all, I'm really not sorry. Okay? But think about this. When we do say we're sorry, and we do say it with sincerity, God is going to honor that, and God will bless it. And that's exactly what he did with Jacob and Esau. So Jacob, who was once, at one time, noted for being a schemer, okay, he was a schemer, and he robbed his brother Esau of his father's blessings. And we all know the story of this, but I'm going to go over it a little briefly. Esau, of course, we know, was favored by his father, and Jacob was favored by his mother. And Esau comes in from the field, famished, starving, and he asks Jacob, his brother, to give him something, to fix him something to eat. And Jacob realizes, aha, this is my chance. This is my chance. And he demands, he says, well, I'll get you something to eat, brother, talking to Esau, if you'll sell me your birthright. It didn't take Esau very long to agree, hey, you can have it. I just want something to eat. Well, that was wrong of Esau because the birthright is a big thing. Not just back then, but today. You know, you receive an inheritance, it's a big thing. It's you appreciate it. So by Esau saying, well, yeah, go ahead, take it. He's telling, you know, he's saying it's not that important. So Isaac, their father, later on, we know that Isaac had a poor vision, and he had asked Esau to bring some food or game that he had went and killed. He asked him to fix it and bring it to him, and then once he fixed it and he ate what Esau gave him, he was going to give him his blessings. He was going to give Esau his blessings over him. And while Esau was doing what his father asked, Rebekah overhears this conversation, and she goes to Jacob and she says, she urges him to dress in Esau's clothing, because not only is the father blind, he's going to feel the material that he's wearing, but he's now also, you know, usually when, you know, you have poor vision, one of your senses is your smell. You're going to use your smell because it's things that you're familiar with. And so that's what he did. Jacob wore Esau's clothes. He could smell Esau, okay, because he couldn't see. So she urges Jacob to wear and dress with Esau's clothing and gives Jacob a savory meal, because isn't that what Isaac said to Esau? Go get me something to eat. So Jacob comes back thinking, you know, letting his dad think that he is Esau, and that he's got him the savory meal that Rebekah has fixed for him. And Jacob goes to his father, making him believe that he is Esau. So after Isaac eats, what's he do? He blesses Jacob, who, again, he thinks is his other son. So when Esau returns with the food, and he realizes what's just taken place, that his blessing that his father was going to bestow upon him was a blessing that was put on Jacob instead. Now Esau's, he's livid, to say the least. And he even says, I'm going to kill him. After the time of mourning is over for our father, because of our father's death, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to get him and I'm going to kill him. So Rebekah, of course, that's her favorite son, Jacob. She fears for his life, and she tells him to go quickly to Uncle Laban's for refuge. So that's what he does. And for the first 7 years of that time, he stays there and works for room and board, and he also falls in love with Rachel. And with that, he thinks that he's getting married to Rachel. Well, the deceiver gets deceived. the schemer gets schemed because Laban dresses his daughter Leah, who is the oldest, and has her end up being the one that's getting married to Jacob instead of Rachel, the one in whom he loved. So come the next day, he realizes it's not Rachel, that it's Leah, and then because that's the one he loves, is Rachel. And yet, he goes back to Laban, and he confronts him, and he goes, well, you know, our tradition, you know what it is, the first daughter is the one that gets married first. You know, and he makes this excuse. Again, there's no sorry there. I'm sorry. Oh, there's a big mistake. No, it was a big setup. But again, you know, you hear the old saying, what goes around comes around. That's exactly what happened to Jacob. What he did to his brother Esau is what had happened to him. So he was deceived, just like he deceived his brother and his father. He deceived his father, too. So he ends up working another 7 years to get Rachel's hand. Okay, so 20 years has gone by now. And God has told Jacob that he wants him to go back to his homeland in Canaan. Now, Jacob's like, well, wait a minute. I'm not on good terms with my brother. Like, God doesn't know that. Okay? And so Jacob decides, I'm going to give him a bountiful gifts. I'm going to buy his forgiveness. Listen to some of the stuff he sends ahead of him before he sees Esau. 200 female goats, 20 male goats, 200 female sheep, 20 male sheep, camels, cows, donkeys. And the list goes on and on of all the gifts that Jacob had sent Esau to buy his forgiveness. And yet, isn't that what we find ourselves doing? We might not do it, you know, to that extent. But maybe, you know, here's a good example of forgiveness. Let's say you don't see your family as often as your family would like you to. And they're hurt. All they want you to say is, hey, I need to spend more time with you. They're not expecting, you know, like, you know, some parents think they need to give their kids more stuff. We were talking about that the other day, weren't we, Lois? And I think you guys in class were, the parents, you know, they give their kids, they keep piling more stuff on their kids, and all their kids want is what? Them. They just want them. And yet, they go through decades and decades and decades where, you know, they talked about the fact that, and I noticed it the other day when you guys brought it up. We were at the restaurant the other night at Four Star, and you could see the parents on their cell phones, and the kids were on their cell phones. There was no communication. Oh, we're going to go out to eat together. Is that together? No, it's not. And yet, through years and decades, these children grow up and they see where their parents, your eyes are blue? You know, I didn't know they took after you, their eyes are blue. You know, because we're so focused on other things. And I bring this up because that plants in their heart, a child's heart. And I will say this, and I know some of you can relate to this. When our children come here, they're starving. Starving, starving, starving. Not for food. For attention. They're starving for attention. And they love coming here because when they're here, whoever's with them, we do. I notice when you guys are with them out there, you guys make eye contact with them. You make eye contact with them and you spend a few minutes talking to them. They soak that up like a sponge. And you say, well, Pastor Bonnie, what's that got to do with forgiveness? These children don't even realize that they're holding bitterness and anger and hurt because they're not getting that attention they're starving for. And then when they get older, unfortunately, that ends up being a cycle in their lives. So when they have children, that's what happens because they don't know any other way. So this ministry, this lighthouse, we have to show them that there is another part of reaching out and expressing our love for them and our appreciation for them. That we need to be that light because some of them don't experience that. They don't feel that. They don't sense that. But then as they grow older, they wonder where they've got this buildup of unforgiveness or anger or bitterness. So if they stay in this ministry, they grow up in this ministry, they'll learn. They'll learn that, you know, there's going to be a time where this is going to come to you and you're going to realize, I need to forgive those who did not spend that time, those that didn't take that time with me. I need to forgive and I need to move on. And I was talking to somebody the other day that said, I wrote letters to people that I offended. It's, the 12 steps of AA, that I asked for forgiveness. And that by doing that, I was taking the load of that bitterness and the anger that I had and the guilt. Because when you don't receive or give that forgiveness, you're carrying that guilt. And God doesn't want us to have that. So it says here that in Genesis 32, it says, but Esau ran to meet. When he saw Jacob, he ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. It says he threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Esau had forgiven his brother Jacob. So let's go to Joseph. Wow. You talk about somebody who could have sure built up a lot of bitterness and anger. But we know that Joseph was, of course, sold by his brothers to Potiphar as a slave. But Joseph, who trusted God in these circumstances, through many events that that Joseph went through, you know, he was falsely accused of attacking his wife, Potiphar's wife, and it wasn't that at all. She was enticing him, and so he ends up in jail because she lies, and he ends up in prison, and he's there for 2 years, and then it turns out that Pharaoh has this dream that can't be on it, no one can explain it. But then the cupbearer says, wait, I know of a guy that's in prison by the name of Joseph, who is able to interpret dreams. So they pull him out of the jail, bring him up to Pharaoh, and he tells him about this dream, that what is going to happen from this dream is God is saying there's going to be a famine. And so because he tells him this dream and explains it in detail what this dream meant, what does Pharaoh do? He puts him in the head of all the grain and everything that comes in, and he starts storing it so that when this famine comes, they're prepared for it. Well, because of this, he ends up being the prime minister of Egypt. So, sure enough, that famine comes. It doesn't just affect Egypt. It affects the whole circumference of that area. Well, if it's going to affect that, it's going to affect Joseph's family. So their father sends his sons to Egypt to get food. And when he does, now Joseph knows who they are. Now, I love what it says. I love the word that when I found, well, I actually remember this because I remember my years ago, I had an issue that rose up and I was so hurt by it. And my son looked at me and he goes, Mom, you can do one of two things. He said, you can either take the high low or the low road. Which one are you going to take? That was just summed it up right there. I'd been so hurt. And not that I wanted to get even, but I was just so hurt. It was a family member and I just was so devastated. Just devastated that this situation took place. And his comment to me was, Mom, you can either take the high low or the low road. Which one are you going to take? That's all I needed to hear. That's all I needed to hear. And that's what I say with Joseph. He could have taken the low road that when his brothers came for food, he could have said, be off with you. I don't want nothing to do with you. Look what you, and he, you know, in the worldly sense, he'd have had every right to do just that because of what they did to him. But he didn't. He took the high road. And he received his brothers with open arms, but more than anything, he received them with love. Because you know what? You can receive someone or accept their forgiveness. But if it's not done in love, eventually that situation is going to come back to the surface, and you're going to have to deal with it again and again and again. So the best thing to do is deal with it one time. Let's not go around the mountain so many times and be reminded and have it be brought back up to the surface again and again. So what did Jacob do? You know, he ended up coming with his son Benjamin, and they all moved towards Egypt to Goshen. They came from Canaan, and they went to Goshen, and they lived there. And, you know, Joseph, again, just brought them in, and they had their own land. They were given their own land, their own place to live. Joseph didn't have to do that, but because of his love for his family, and because he didn't hold a grudge, because he didn't want to have that bitterness, he didn't want to carry that extra load, he decided to do what he knew God would want him to do, and that's forgive. So this morning, with these messages, these examples, I would like you to take a little bit of an inventory and say, who have I got unforgiveness for? And, you know, ask God how he wants you to deal with it. Are you to, you know, call that person? Like I shared with this other individual, they literally wrote letters to people that they had hurt over the years and asked for forgiveness. That was their way of doing it. God might have you do it a different way. But we all, if we think hard enough, is there someone that we need to write a letter to or maybe give a quick call to? Our flesh is going to fight it. It's going to say, no, I don't want to do that. But God is saying that, you know, until you forgive, I cannot forgive you. So whatever way God directs you to do that, follow through. And with that, Cheryl, if you'll come up, the message isn't that long today. This song is a song that I had shared with you last week. Keith Green, at this first time I'd heard it. What page number is that, Cheryl?
378.
If you'll turn to 378 and if you'll stand. And the reason I had her pick this song, Create in Me a Clean Heart, when we ask God to clean us up, create in us a clean heart, then we will find ourselves wanting to do just that. Reach out and forgive. Amen? Understand how much we might have hurt others in our lives or how much we've been hurt in our lives. But we don't want to carry that pain and that bitterness of being hurt or that guilt of hurting other people. We don't want to carry these feelings one more minute. Father, but in order to do that, we need your grace and we need your power. The power of the cross to release us from that hurt and to forgive those who have hurt us, Lord. For all those that we've hurt, we ask for forgiveness. Father, first we ask for your forgiveness. We need the experience of your forgiveness so that we can know what it's going to be like when we forgive others and receive the forgiveness from others that have done us wrong. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us on the cross, and we accept that grace and that forgiveness so that we too can step out and give that grace and forgiveness to those who have hurt us. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity to do just that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand for our last song, number 494, Step by Step. our hands and receive God's blessing. May the Lord bless and keep you, and may the Lord keep his face to shine down upon you and be gracious to you, and may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you peace. In Jesus' name, go in Jesus' name, in his peace, in his hope, and in his joy. In Jesus' name, amen.